Welcome, everybody, to Fated Mates. We are so excited. This week, we have an incredible person with us. I'm so excited. Nana Malone is here. Nana!
Thank you for having me.
We're so excited. We're going to talk about royals. We're going to talk about princes and princesses and kings and queens and all of the people who have royal...
I've got that Lord song in my head now, and Kelly always calls her Lordy, which I mean, she's doing it ironically, but I'm all like, and we'll never be royal. And now I'm like, oh shit, I'm all distracted.
Well, first of all, that song is like my daughter's favorite song, and she loves it.
Yeah, dude, no, it's a good jam, and I will jam out to it every single time, and I'm like, but I will be royal.
Exactly. So, but I would like to, can we get a final, it is Lord, not Lorde, or Lordy.
Yeah, it's Lord.
Lord.
It's, I think it's Lord. Right.
I feel like that E is silent.
It's silent. It's an unnecessary E.
Yeah, it's just, you know.
The E is silent, sure. Well, she's royal. She's got something a little extra
royal.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you something funny because kids do love that song. And when it first came out, my son and his best friend would sing, instead of "We're driving Cadillacs in our dreams," they would sing "We're driving Cadillacs into trees."
Oh,
yes.
I think they already got that royalty could be a little destructive.
Yeah, because they were going back to, like, Prince Harry, his youthful days, yeah. Right? Like, that's what they were. They were like, I remember Prince Harry. I remember that, yeah. What they were thinking about.
Like, that make-your-own-lyrics power was really strong with those ones. So
hey, I like it. My husband insists that we have this thing. My cousins and I do this thing. It's like someone will, like, just be saying something, and they'll inadvertently give a line from a song. And then we will sing at least the tune, but sometimes make up our own lyrics to it. And, you know, like the next person has to sing like the line or whatever. And my husband's always like, that's not the line. And sure enough, it almost always is. But sometimes because I'm a writer and I take artistic license, I make up the line so it fits.
Very nice.
So I dig it.
Sure. Why wouldn't you?
Exactly. You're allowed.
I believe in that.
Sometime, not now, I will tell the story about... my favorite, actually, I am going to tell it now. Fuck it. It has nothing to do with royalty, but it's really goddamn funny. So remember that Rihanna song, S&M? Remember that song?
Yes, okay. Yes.
So my son was like 7 when that song was really big. And he was like, what does S&M mean? And I was like, yeah, I can't tell you. And he's like, why not? And I was like, I literally cannot tell you. There is no way for me to tell you what that means. It just is impossible.
We'll talk about
right?
it when you're older.
So anyway, yeah, or not. Like, let's talk to somebody else about it. Good Lord, find porn on the internet like the rest of us.
Right?
So anyway, we're driving along, and of course this song is on like heavy rotation. I don't know if you remember that. It was on all the time.
Oh, yes. Oh,
and
I remember.
Finally one day, this little voice pops up from the back seat, and he's like, Mom. I know you said you're not going to tell me, but I figured it out. And I was all like, oh no. Really? You figured out what S&M mean? And he's like, yeah, it means sexy and mean. And I was like, yeah, you're right, actually.
No. He's not wrong.
You're right. I was like, that actually is pretty goddamn
close. That is 100%
close.
True.
So,
yeah, he is not wrong.
100%, right? He is not wrong. So here's the best part of the story. He then goes around telling everybody, listen, my mom wouldn't tell me, but I figured it out on my own. And I was like, oh shit, now I'm the bad mom. And my next door neighbor, Charlotte, was like, I thought I was going to drive off the goddamn road, Jennifer. Like, I was going to have to come over there and be like, what are you teaching this baby? And I was like, He guessed what it meant, and he was right.
That's amazing, actually.
Isn't that amazing?
I love everything about that. And I have to visit with him so he can tell me all the lovely things. Well, he's older now. Now he's like, no, I really know what it means.
Yeah, it's less fun now.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, now it's like less funny. Yeah. He's made
all of it.
Oh,
all
I love
it. Yeah, now I can put our phone, our Actually, I'll put in show notes a interaction we had this week in the car. There was always in the car about this new Senorita song with Shawn Mendes. And her name's Camila Cabello.
Yeah.
You guys, that video.
The boyfriend.
I've never felt so old in my life as when I watched that video. And everybody was like thirsting hard for that video. And I was like, everything there just looks sweaty and hot.
You know what it is? It's because. Yeah, right? I'm like, oh my God, you know they must be so sticky.
Everyone needs to shower. Go ahead.
The thing is, ever since Shawn Mendes posted in the Calvin Klein underwear, like old ladies everywhere are like, I just feel dirty and old, but it's okay. And I'm just like, oh, he's the internet's new boyfriend. And I was like, what happened to like the refined boyfriends like Tom Hiddleston? What happened to that? But
I don't know. No longer, the Trump administration.
I need him to be. I need him to be quite a bit older. Yeah. It's not a good look for me for sure.
I mean, the thing is though, like my daughter is like one day she was like, Shawn Mendes is so cute. And I went, you know, you're not wrong, but why? You're nine.
Yeah. But you know, there's all that research. There's this really fascinating research on boy bands and why they work. Like,
yeah.
And the fact that they work because they're like a safe sexual experience for a girl.
Yeah.
Like for young girls. Yes. Because there's nothing sexual about members of a boy band. Like the whole.
Wait. Hold up.
I was like. Sexy and mean.
Nana has a problem.
I feel like we just stopped being best friends. I don't even know what to do with myself at this moment.
Oh, no.
Because I'm, okay, you know what? It's because I'm remembering that. Remember, do you remember NSYNC when it was like the height of pandemonium? The thing is, because it came out when I was in college. And so I was like past really the time of like screaming my head off.
Yeah.
But like I was you know, cuz like that's really like a young teenager thing to be like, "Oh my God, I'm gonna die." but it was like just in that cusp of like they were my age. So I was I was like, "No, that man is fine. Let me just be really clear that he can get it. I'm sorry." And I personally like a man who can dance. So I was like, "Okay." But what's interesting is that like the boy bands of our youth, like, I recently saw New Kids on the Block because I never saw them in concert, and they came to San Diego with, like, Salt and Pepper and, like, you know, Debbie Gibson, all the whole thing. I went with some friends, and it was hilarious because I was like, oh, my – and the like, auditorium, it was so loud, my ears. I needed to, like, put in my earplugs because there were these old middle-aged women, myself included, screaming their heads off. And then Donnie Wahlberg took off his shirt. Now, keep in mind, Donnie Wahlberg is 49 years old.
No.
And so, like, it's – yes. Well, no, the thing is he's got, like, a full-on six-pack, right?
Oh, God.
And so, like, he took off his shirt. And I just looked at him, and I'm, instead of having the right reaction, I went, you know, good for you, Jenny McCarthy. Good for you.
See? That's what happens. It's like these – it's like the BTS phenomenon, which is, like – preteens,
oh, please stop it. Yeah,
like tweenagers, and then like ladies in their 40s,
right?
And it's a curious thing, and I'm sure there's lots of research on ladies in their 40s, but I think that's probably also sort of like harkening back to like our youth, and you know, we still love you know, the people of our youth. Hey, Val Kilmer, hey. But like that Shawn Mendes is just safe, and this video is very dark and wet. It's very humid in this video.
You know what it is, because like, well, this like takes me back to like, remember when like Biebs was like at like the teen scream hype, right? Before it started to turn, right? Before it was like, oh, B's in trouble and he's doing this and whatever. He was like that. Everyone's like, the parents were like, oh, he's safe. And then he turned into Bad Boy. So the quote unquote, right?
Yeah.
And so like, then the girls who were like, going to be the diehards dug in even deeper. And like, they were like, we're never letting this go. That's why he's still famous. And I'm like, every other boy band before he died, why are you still making millions? Like, why are you still platinuming out on an album? What is it's that? True.
You know, one of my proudest teaching moments has to do with the Biebs, and that was there was a couple girls who, this is actually really fucking cute, you guys. I had a couple girls that year who would always write their last name as Bieber. Aww. Right? So it was like Layla Bieber. Like, they just loved him so much. And it was really cute. It was really cute. And these, I will never forget this. We were like in a smaller group, and this one girl just like loved Bieber, and her name was Alexa. And these boys were like, "You just love Bieber. Like, what's wrong with you? You're just such a fan." And I stopped. I like put up my finger and I looked at them and I was like, "You know what? But all of you have his haircut."
Yes.
And they just like, it was quiet. And I was like, "Do not shame these girls for liking him when you all look like him. Like, it's working on all of you." And I just had this moment where I was like, I don't even want ever to see you shaming these girls for liking Bieber. I will not have it. Layla Bieber decides she deserves to be Layla Bieber.
No, I mean, it's so absolute because, I mean, and that's what happens. It's like, and it's funny. Okay, so don't, okay, you guys do not judge me.
Never.
But I watched the Joe Bros documentary because I missed that whole thing. I never was like, I was like, who are these kids? Oh. You know, I was cause like when Nick Jonas came out with a solo album, I was like, who's this like hot looking piece of cake? Like, who is this?
Yeah.
I had zero idea.
Yeah.
I didn't know who Joe Jonas was. People were like, oh, the Jonas Brothers. And I was like, oh, some kid band. I had no idea. I thought they were like, you know, like what was the Hansons, you know, like I didn't know.
Well,
because like I was past, I was like what, my early 30s?
Yeah, you were a grown ass woman.
Mid 30s.
Yeah.
And so like I wasn't watching MTV or whatever. And so you're like, I don't know, like who's
BTS? Oh yeah,
like,
you just miss it.
Right. And so what was interesting is I watched that, like I was like, what's this on my Amazon Prime? And I was like, oh, they're cute. And I was like, oh my God, I can see why little girls were like screaming their heads off. And I was like, oh yeah, the whole form, not even the formula, because they were like a band, but I was like, I see why, you know, they were like, oh, the different personalities to love.
Sure.
They were all like cute, homespun. They were former preacher's kids, so you know they were secretly dirty. So like, I was like, you know what? I watched that documentary and I was like, okay, I can see it. I can see why little girls would be like, oh, I'm going to die if Nick Jonas doesn't call me.
You might even say they're American royalty.
Oh, look at that. Look at that.
Yes, the spinning to the topic. Yes.
I was like, I'm going to talk about Priyanka Chopra.
Yeah, because I love Priyanka Chopra like nobody's business.
All of the people. Oh, my God. Wait, you go ahead and talk about her because that was ridiculous.
Nick Jonas married up into fucking royalty. Like, fucking royalty.
Yes, he did.
She is the most beautiful woman I have ever seen in my entire life. Look, I was obsessed with her when she was in Quantico. I was like, oh my God. I was like, she's just, wow. Like that body, like,
I mean,
her face.
He should be thanking his maker every day.
Every damn day. Every damn day. That woman is like, I was like, she was on, God, one of those like late night shows, and she's wearing this like suit, and it's like, it's full on just the blazer, like nothing underneath it. And like her tits are on full display, and I'm just like, wow. I texted a friend, and I was like,
love
girl,
that.
Have you seen this? Because wow. Just that level of confidence to be like, these are my tits, and I'm like, yes, yes,
and now,
girl, yes,
yes,
everything about
them. And they're amazing.
And like, just to bring it back around, that wedding though, that photograph,
that wedding
of that train, it was a my princess. God. It was a royal wedding. Like, it was gorgeous.
And everything about
absolutely.
It. And everything about the Hindu wedding as well. I mean, it was like, the whole point of royalty is the opulence and like the not being, it's like, no, there are these people over there that we will never touch. And look at how gorgeous they are. And just like everything about it, the gold, the diamonds, just everything glittered. Like, she literally shimmered.
Yep.
As she stood there and every single dress she had. And I was like, yes, everything about this, everything. And even Nick in his turban, I was like, he looks like a prince. He looks like a prince that is like, I don't know how I got to marry an Indian princess, but I'm here for it.
And right.
I'm going to wear this and I look amazing and this is going to be awesome. So Priyanka Chopra is every princess.
Yeah, I was young enough that, like, the royal wedding, like, of Diana and Charles, like, mm-hmm. was, like, I remember us talking about it when we were really little. Yeah. And I was on a swim team, and I remember somebody saying, like, her train is as long as the pool. And I was like, what the, like, what? And I think now with, like, with Meghan and Harry, I feel like there was this, like, big, like, blank spot where we did not get, like, the royalty we needed to, like, fuel those fantasies. Right. And it is no surprise to me that royal romances are back in a big way because young royals really, like fuel mm-hmm. that fire.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, like, I was a little girl when Diana, obviously, when Diana and Charles got married. And I was like, and the thing is, I wasn't really from this country. So we just moved back to the States. And... like, and I was little, and I remember, like, seeing the hoopla and the hubbub, and I was like, oh, there's a princess, okay. Like, I didn't really, like, get it, you know? And I was like, but, like, I just remember seeing her dressed up like a cupcake, and I was like, okay, but she's a princess. And she was very pretty, but I also remember thinking, she looks uncomfortable. Hmm. And, like, I didn't think about it, you know, accurate, really, in the context, accurate. And then, like, as you get older, you realize that, oh my God, that poor woman. But, like, the best part about,
miserable.
Like,
I know.
Harry and Meghan was that, like, yes, obviously, royal fever. And, like, I need to send them a basket or something because they did me a favor when they got married when they did. Because I was like,
they're waiting. Like, noticed, Nana.
They did. They knew. Like, it was announced that they were dating. I was like, oh, like, at first I was like, oh, are they really? Come on, you tabloid, roll eyes. And I'm plodding away at my, you know, my romance. And I'm just like, I'm doing a prince. And, like, and I, you know, I interject brown people into my books at every turn. So I was like, oh, it's time for another brown girl. Yes. And then I'm like typing away. And then I was like, oh, shit, they're getting married. Yes, thank Christ. And it was at exactly the same time as my book was releasing, and I was like, "Yes, everything about this, I'm here for it." Because there had been a couple of real romances before I had released that were like that were really good, Emma Chase's series, and I was like, "Okay," but like it hadn't been like a huge thing that like now I see everyone's doing. I'm like everywhere I turn, there's a royal series, and I'm like, "Okay, great." But like I was here for everything about that, and I was like, "And she's brown, yes!" Because mm-hmm. it gave every brown girl in the world hope that they too could marry a prince. They too had an option, a choice, a possibility. Although there are not many princes around, but you know, we'll hope.
Well, there are a lot of them in Romancelandia.
They sure are.
I just want to say, I am past 40, and I watched that wedding like. I can't even tell you the joy that it brought me.
Oh, yes. Yes, girl, yes.
Yeah.
I felt like it was me.
I didn't feel that, but I felt very, very happy. Like, it just made me feel like good things could happen in the world.
Yeah.
Because they look, I mean, whatever. I don't know these people at all, but they look so happy. They look so in love.
I know.
Like, he looks
so in love. And
that's
the stark difference. That's the stark difference between their wedding and Charles and Diana.
Oh, and God, his mother's. Diana. Well, she was also 12 years old. I mean, she was so young. She was only 18.
She was so young.
And like, I mean, it was, they married for the reason that people married back in the day.
Back in the day.
And now suddenly, you know, like, everybody's allowed to get married for love. You know, I mean.
Even the royals, which is amazing.
Yeah, which is incredible. And I mean, like, there's so much about this that is just, that we did the same thing. I mean, the joke in our house for 6 months was that my daughter's favorite movie was The Royal Wedding, and we watched it like 1,000 times.
Yes. Right?
My favorite story about this is that so George and Amal Clooney were there, and Amal was wearing that beautiful like mustard colored dress.
Yeah. And Amal looked amazing.
My daughter said, my husband sort of wandered into the room while we were watching it for the 83rd time. And my daughter pointed to the screen and said, that yellow lady, she's a rebel girl. She's changing the world. She helps things that are not unfair be fair again. And my husband looked at her and said, and who is that man next to her? And she just looked at him and was like, I don't know. Why is he important? I was like, yes, let the children lead us.
Yes.
That's amazing.
I believe that children are the future. Whitney said it best. My God, yes, I love everything about that. I mean, but that's the amazing thing, because like, what was so like, yes, like we were like ridiculously happy in this household because we're like, oh my God, a brown girl. Hallelujah. Yeah. But also because she was like, she had like a real job. She, you know, she was an actress, but she was also like, yes, this, like giant humanitarian. And we were like, yes.
Yeah.
So not just like some sloppy party girl, but like a real person,
a real in the world with a brain in her head.
With a brain and like, and strong opinions about like what she believed in. And I love that they met because of like, you know, of like charity, humanitarian things. And I was like, yes, yes. Because yeah, like, I feel that like Kate is very pretty, like, sure. And like, you know, and they went to school together, and I love a friends to lovers romance. I do. But like the poor Kate is just like, she's just the breeder. And like, you never hear about her. Like, yes, she has charities, but she never talks ever.
It's really,
barely interviewed.
Yeah. She has a completely different life, and she will have a completely different life forever. Like marrying, marrying the heir is very different than marrying the spare.
Very different. Yes. I'm so happy that Harry was, you know, like, because imagine his grandmother might have still been like, you might be the spare, but look, no.
Yeah.
We're not doing this.
I mean, who knows, right? But I everybody that I've ever read on this sort of believes that it's that Diana taught everybody a lesson. Like, don't force them to marry for the heritage at this point. Right? Like, also, it's nonsense. It's 2019 and it's nonsense.
Yeah, it's dumb. It's very, very dumb.
But so wait, so is it just, so here's my thing. And what's really fascinating is there used to be this adage in historical that, because I mean, in historical, you can't throw a stone and not hit a duke, right? So, there was always this like thing that like you could write, everybody wanted a duke, like readers love, truth told, readers love dukes more than anything. If you have Duke in the title, the book sells better. Like, these are all truths. So it would go, it stand to reason that if you put prince in a title or king in a title, you would move, the readers would want that even more. And it's not true in historicals. And in fact, like, there is a sort of general sense that like, if you write a prince or a king in a historical, you're going to sell fewer books. Not more.
That's fascinating.
Because people won't believe it.
Yeah.
Right? Like the plausible deniability. It's just too far to bridge.
But what's fascinating is like there, it's so interesting because historical on all, in so many other ways, has permission to, it gives readers permission to suspend disbelief, right?
But if
for some reason royals work in contemporary in a way that they don't in historicals. And do you think royal fever?
I think that's part of it. But I think that in contemporaries too, there's enough, like Charles and Di were like a terrible example, but we have contemporary princes that we can look at, right? Like we can see contemporary princesses, mm-hmm. and they marry some beautiful girl model, whatever. Okay. Looking at you, Prince Albert of Monaco. But we see them in like, princes are not this like cloistered, forbidden, hidden from view kind of thing, right?
Right.
Like I used to go to like when in my London days, you know, when I was fabulous and could wear hot pants and a smile, I would go to these clubs at the. Yes, there are pictures somewhere. I think I burned most of them, but there are these like clubs and like China Whites and Funky Buddhas that I would go to that like at least Harry would go to. You know, like I remember so distinctly, I was at this club, Funky Buddha, and I won't tell you the year, it was like 2000, 2001. And like, I remember my friend being like, oh my God, word is Prince Harry is in the VIP. And then like Owen Wilson was there. It's like the princes are just the same as celebrities, and they want to mix with celebrities in modern times. But like in historical, like princes were like completely untouched. Like you weren't getting near the prince. Unless it was a Scottish Highland.
Well, and let's be honest, let's be honest, being a princess wasn't so great either. Being a princess means that you're like living in a smelly old castle and marrying your dad's friends.
Yeah, basically.
Gross. Yeah, for land. Yeah, for land. For politics.
So I'm
Yes, exactly. So actual history has taught us that, like, princesses and princes did not get to marry the good-looking, hot person that they were, like, totally into, unfortunately, is what it's told us. So I can see how it doesn't work in historical, because it's like, nope. Like, we know that that poor girl was forced to marry a man who was 63 years her senior and bear him children. We know this is fact.
Yeah. So, yeah. Nana, let's talk, because I would say, like, you know, excuse the pun, but I would say that at this point, you're pretty much the queen of royal contemporaries. You have, what, 5, 6 royal series running?
Let's see. Like, if we're counting each duet as its own contained thing, I'm on 3, 4, 5, 6. I'm on my 6th duet about to release. Yeah.
Yeah. And it feels like it feels like you've really, like, put a stake in the ground on, like, the royal being an important piece of modern romance, because
I mean, the thing is, for me, when it started, I basically have had this idea for the original, the first one, Cheeky Royal. I'd had that idea. Originally, it was called Penny and the Prince. Like, I had that idea, like, nearly 10 years ago. I was like, I want to write this book where, like, the girl is the royal guard. And you know, and she protects the prince. And everybody was like, are you insane?
And you're not. It remains my favorite of all of your books.
Thank you.
That first one.
And I had a special connection to it, because for me, I was like, you know, I love royalty, and I love the fun and the fantasy of it. That's the joy of it. Because it's like, but then I also wanted to make it modern, because I personally, apparently I'm a bit spicy and saucy. I don't really know where people get that, but that's what they tell me. But I love a character that's, like, with spunk, who feels real, like someone, because, like, while I might be like, oh my God, a total billionaire wants to take me out, I would still be like, but no, actually I didn't want to do that. I want to go do this over here. Or like, I never believe in the full fairy tale, right? Because I'm just like, I don't want to be like the simpering girl who's like, oh my God, he's so rich and so perfect, and I'll just be a blank slate and do whatever, because that's not who I am. And that's not who I like to read about. I want to read about these real women and how real women would even make that work, like, at all. And so for me, the first couple, they show up in a lot of the other books and series, and you see their relationship evolve. Like, it's just not like, and then they lived happily ever after. And it's like, no, they still have difficulties, because, you know, as, you know, spoiler alert, it is romance, so you know it ends on a happy ending. But like, it's a happy ending, but she still has difficulty being like her role as queen versus her role before, where she was a royal guard, because she doesn't want to stop. And of course, her husband is like, well, now you got to stop. And she's like, bump that, you know? So for me, and I, like, actually, I write these different kind of royals.
You do. And I love that, though. Like, I love. So here's the thing. So going back to the royals that we think about all the time in real life, right? Like, the thing that kills me about Kate and, like, the life that she has chosen, that, you know, arguably could have been chosen for her by her mother, who is, in my mind, the, like, Kris Jenner of England. But that life for her is, like, she can never go out and have a cheeseburger ever again. Like, her friends. Like, she can never do anything ever again that isn't related to the fact that she has sired the next king of the United Kingdom, right? So, like, I loved the second half of that duet when they are married, and it is, like, and she's like, I hate this. Like, I don't want this world.
Yeah.
And he, what's interesting is that he didn't want it either in the beginning. So, like, it's a really, like, interesting sort of partnership story. I mean, we all know I'm on record for, you know, not loving a cliffhanger, but this is out for this. Both of these books are out, and it's worth. It's a wonderful book when it's put together, because you see both the beginning and the sort of breathless courtship sort of, like, but the breathless relationship building, and then you see them in partnership, like, just fucking struggling. And that's so important because I think it's really honest.
Well, I mean, and it has to be because...
Well, especially when the outside, like the outside stakes are so high, we know that those troubles are coming at them. And if you can show some of that to the reader, then they really believe that that future, that they'll keep working together.
Absolutely.
Like to beat those challenges.
I mean, and the thing is, it's real life. I mean, I tell people all the time, because my husband and I have been together like a long time, 23 years. It's a long time. And married for half of that. But like at the end of the day, like, you know, we have this friend who like looks at us. He's like, oh yeah, the Malones been together since the Paleolithic era. And I'm like, and he's, and whenever he's like, he talks about like his future partner or whatever, he's like, yeah, I just want that like magic. And I was like, dude, I don't know what to tell you. And this is coming from a romance writer. There's no magic. There is like hard ass
work.
It's work. Like out there shoveling trenches work. It is work. It is muddy. It is raining. It's raining at you sideways half the time. And it's work. And for me, like, I think the joy of the romance is to find, like, writing romance is like, yes, of course, the fantasy and he's hot and it's, he's a king and blah, blah, blah. But also it's like writing just a real partnership. Like, no, it's like, well, we're in this. We're till death do us part. One of us is going to have to go first. And in my case, people are actually trying to kill them. So there's that. It's about like till death do us part. So like, if you're going through something, well, let's either talk about it and figure it out, or, you know, like there's no choice.
Right.
Like we have to sort this out. And I love how, for me, like, I mean, they're my characters. So like, I'm like, and you're going to work it out like this, but they have like real legit and their troubles, like not troubles, but like real marriage stuff comes up in the context of these royals. I mean, because at the end of the day, Penny is queen, you know, she's queen of the Winston Isles, and it shows up in every series. You see, like, I always like to revisit everyone. Yeah. And you see them like at whatever stage they're at, you know, they like, you know, they could have worked out her whole, I still want to be a royal guard thing. And he's like, but baby, you're the queen. And she's like, but you knew me as a royal guard. Don't stick me in a corner at some state dinner, you know, having to talk to like, you know, some Russian oligarch, like, screw that. Give me a gun. So like, they're real people.
And what's so interesting is they're real people who have to live their lives in public. Right. Like, so I think about, you know, one of the series that I thought about talking about today was Katie Roberts, Thelanian Dynasty series, which is a Menage series.
Where, oh, I do not know this one. Now I need to make myself a list.
It's male, male, female. So penises touch, swords cross, if you will.
I'm not mad at that.
I'm not either.
Let's get some crossing swords.
Katie Robert knows how to write a hot book, and I'm here for it.
And this is it's three books, and it's the same triad in all three books. But my favorite one is the second one, which is when they sort of work it out. But like, one of them is a sort of king in exile.
And I love the king in exile. I love it.
And then his bodyguard, a lot of, I also have the book that I'm going to talk about is a bodyguard book. I asked Nana before she came on, everybody, that I was like, do you want to talk about royals or do you want to talk about bodyguards? Because I could totally do like a full, but then I realized like all my bodyguard recommendations are also royal recommendations. So it's just, you know,
and
two
all
for
my,
one.
All my royal books are, all my royal books are all bodyguard.
Exactly.
Books.
I mean, like, because bodyguard is this is a hugely sexy piece of the puzzle, right? The like, you know, it amps up the conflict.
Yeah.
It's so forbidden.
Yep.
Right. Like there's something real taboo about fucking your like bodyguard. Or the reverse, like fucking the guy.
Because they're like supposed to like guard your body, and then you're like, this is not what I meant by guard my body.
I mean,
that's what the rest of us meant then. Yes, guard that body. Get in there. Guard it.
So, like, one of them is a deposed king, one of them is the bodyguard, and then there's the woman who was like a bartender in New York City who they like met on a random night who they both like can't get enough of, and it's delicious and ridiculous, and I think that's part of it too, like these books, like once you put somebody on the page in contemporary romance as a king, you're like, this is bonkers. But I love
absolutely
it
bonkers.
I'm here for it. Well, even if it's not bonkers, it works for me. I mean, I was going to talk about Alyssa Cole's books, but I feel like everyone's read them, but they're pretty like straightforward. Like these are regular people. And I was still like, yes, I can't get enough. Like keep coming, A Princess in Theory. Give me more. Yeah. So, I mean, I think that like the royal romance, whether it's on the bonkers continuum or even like the plain bonkers continuum, is still a delight.
Well, you know what? Because it scratches that id. It scratches that like piece of us that yes. we're like 99.99999% of us will never know what it's like to be referred to as a princess, even if you're famous, which is like probably the closest yep. any of us will ever get. Because or like billionaires, yes, but like billionaires always seem to have kind of a more boring life. Like it's more like contained because like they have to work to get there in most cases, right?
And nobody like, recognizes a billionaire on the street. I mean,
nobody, you know, like because like the hot billionaires we write, they don't exist. They don't look.
That's
like
always the moment that I roll my eyes in contemporary billionaire books when they're like, we're all at a party and someone's like, oh, that's that famous billionaire. Did you not see him on the cover of People magazine? And I'm like, right? When? And I'm, when has a billionaire when? Been on the cover yes! of People magazine?
When, right? And so like.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
And P.S., my latest book that's coming out in July, he's a billionaire and he's been named People's Sexiest Twice in a Row. And even as I wrote that, Nana. I was like, I roll here, but the thing is, I get away with it because he's also a royal. Yeah. So I'm like, pom pom,
billionaire prince.
Yes, I cheated that. I was like, yes, man. Look,
that's fine.
Like, because royalty could be on in people. I was like, okay. Because the thing is, we have a modern day reference, but like the closest most of us will ever get is famous people, right? Like that's. That kind of like right. opulent lifestyle where it's like you could have anything you want. No one will ever tell you no. And, you know, as like a second son of a king, you know, poor Harry, you are the one who gets to live that life. But even like, you know, William got to live like he lives a life. It's just off page. And it's usually like having all my friends off to safari in, you know, South Africa and yeah. they're having a party that we will never see because he's not in Vegas. Like right. poor Harry with his naked self.
Harry, get it together. Pull yourself together.
They're the most rarefied celebrities there are, essentially, yes, sure. right?
Basically.
And it's like celebrity with history. It's like celebrity with a pedigree.
Exactly.
So can I actually like pivot to, I'm going to talk about my book first because because there's actually a part of this that is like really relevant. So it's called The Queen's Game by Carla de Guzman, and she's a romance class author. And I just want to pause for a minute and tell people, if you don't know what romance class is, it is a group of Filipino authors writing in English, and they like to a book are always like a real pleasure to read. And I think it's because like these, like the romance class authors just like love romance. And they really were like, we want to write romance for us, but have it be in English. And like, they're all really delightful. And in this particular book, The Queen's Game, Nina is like essentially a princess. Her father's just died. She's going to become the queen. But she like arrives back in her island nation, which is like near the Philippines, but it is like a made up country.
Right.
And what happens is her aunt is like the regent, is a sort of acting essentially as queen for like 6 months until Nina's kind of ready to be crowned. But Nina is like a wild one, right? Like she's, you know, gotten into trouble with the paparazzi and has like made out with like young pop stars and all this stuff. And so what they do is they hook her up with her childhood best friend, Philippe. And he is essentially the prince of the neighboring island. And they're always like have been really close together, like these two kingdoms.
Right.
But there's this part where Philippe thinks, and this is like why it's on brand, right? Like essentially it's their first time going out for this like fake engagement, like kind of dating thing, which of course becomes real. And, you know, he thinks the crowd was expecting romance that lasted for generations. Romance that made history. That's what the royals were for. They gave their people what they needed while providing them with a beacon to look to, an entire secret world to wonder about.
Ooh, yes.
And I just thought that book, it like nailed, like totally nailed, right? Like that myth of like the royal romance and why. right? Like, we just see this, like, tiny little slice of it, and all we want is to know more, but we never can.
Yeah.
And I think that that, like, is, you know, and I just, as I was reading this book, which is delightful, by the way, and I'm going to tell you, like, a couple things I really liked about it is like, I just thought, like, I highlighted it and thought, like, that is the perfect explanation of why these books work so well.
Yeah.
But the thing in particular I liked about this book is, and I don't know if Nina essentially is, you know, Philippe has, like, essentially stayed home in his island kingdom. He's, like, our virgin prince and, you know, kind of, like, he loves farming. He's just, like, this simple guy. And what happens is there's this great part where he sort of says to her, like, we really have to do this. Like, essentially, it's going to be great for our people. There's going to be this kind of business thing that can get settled if we pretend to be fake engaged or whatever. And he's like, you know, don't worry, I'm not going to hurt you, is what he says to her. And she looks at him and she basically is like, how do you know I'm not going to hurt you? And you guys, he becomes aroused by this. He has to, like, adjust his pants. And she is like, gotcha. And I just, like, the whole thing is so great because she, right, like, she isn't going to grow into being a queen. Like, she already knows that this is her destiny.
Right.
And one of the big dilemmas with her, and I loved it. Like, I just loved how strong she was. And there's this one other part that I just thought was really awesome. So her aunt, who's the regent, her name's Delia, Tita Delia. And her Tita Delia is basically like, you know, you have to wear these, like, Chanel suits and, you know, be real prim and proper, and this is what the people expect of you. And Nina says to her, they only expect that because it's what they've been told. Queens have been warriors and seductresses and murderers if they had to.
Yes.
Grace and prudish coquettishness was never a requirement. And I just loved her so much. And I've got to tell you, this whole book, and it's really a novella, I think it's maybe 150 pages, is just really great. And the romance itself is like, just really pleasing. Like, there's not, the conflict is mostly about, like, her trying to, like, attain the throne for herself. But they're a great partnership, and Nina is just baller. And I loved her from beginning to end. And I really, really recommend recommend this one. It was great.
Oh, it sounds great. Like,
you're adding things to my list, my never-ending list of to-be-reads between books.
Welcome. That's our job.
Welcome
here,
to Nana. Faded Mates, everybody.
That's what you do. Now I'm like, oh, now I gotta add this other one. Okay, yeah. No, that's like up my alley, because I love nothing more than a sassy, just like spitfire.
Oh yeah.
Like, I need that. If I don't get it in a book, I just get irritated.
Oh yeah, for sure. Me too. And it was great to see that. Like, she was a princess, but she wasn't like, she wasn't wimpy at all, right? She had all this internal strength, and it was amazing, and I loved it.
Well, Nana, what do you have? You've got one.
I do. And anyone who knows me is going to be like, yep, that sounds like her. Gillian Dodds, The Prince.
Wait, say it again.
Gillian Dodds, The Prince, which is book one in her Spy Girl series. Technically, it's young adult, new adult, contemporary. And so the basic plot is Agent X, who takes on a persona, goes undercover to protect the prince of Metrovia, I think it was. And she goes undercover with this guy, Ari, and they're supposed to be like brother and sister, but like Ari's totally hot. And my favorite thing about this, like, first of all, Agent X is like every James Bond, Mission Impossible, badass, gadgeted up, ass kicking, capoeira doing, parkour acting out, kind of badass Buffy-esque heroine.
Fine.
I'm like, yes, I'm here for all of those things, because it's just like any form of strong woman I can get, I'm like, yes, right here.
Right.
I'm going to read it. And she is, and the best part about this is she's not your typical, like, yes, it's very like, oh, well, like, will they, won't they with like either of the guys. But she's this kind of girl who bed hops, She is flirting her way through the kingdom, and she makes no apologies for it. And I'm like, yes, yes, sex positivity. Like, you go get it. You go and get it. Flirt with everyone. Jump out of his bed onto his, whatever you got to do. Like, and it's like you were saying, Sarah, it's like that, like, only this idea of being demure and coquettish is like this, like, BS idea, because through centuries, queens have been everything they needed to be for their country's survival.
Right.
Like, that's just the truth of it. And that women have been everything they needed to be for their family's survival. And so this idea that the woman has to be, like, meek and weak and, like, all of that stuff, especially in romance, is very frustrating. and then, of course, with Gillian Dodd, it's, you know, there, she's protecting the prince, which I was like, Gillian, it's like you were in my head. The girl is the one protecting the prince. I love everything about this. And of course, you know.
Yeah, that's pretty great.
I really, you know, love that.
Of course, the prince, he's like, you know, he's sexy. I mean, he's a prince. So, like, he's everything. He scratches all those ids. Like, he's a little bit cocky. So you're like, oh, he's kind of a dick, but oh, so hot, you know? And she gives him as good as she gets. Which
that's
is
fine.
Fine, you know? And it's like, oh, and you're like, I hate him, but God, he's hot. You know? you love that. For me, it's this amazing, like, because when Buffy the Vampire Slayer came out, like, it was the first time you saw, like, really this, like, female heroine who is young and kind of just, like, fun and wanted to be with her friend, but, like, was, like, this badass, like, just, like, all around, like, just badass. And, like, ever since, I look for that in, like, female characters. Mm-hmm. And Agent X, like, just, like, scratches all of that.
Well, that, like, sounds she, awesome. She's pretty awesome. That sounds amazing.
You know, you just want to, like, get it. It's like, and it's like in several books. So, like, you go on. I think it's 6 books, I want to say.
Same characters in the
same
6
triad.
Books.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, like, the main conflict for her is that she, her mother was murdered, and, you know, and she, like, pseudo witnessed it. So, like, she's on the hunt for the person who killed her mother. That's the main conflict, which again makes me very happy, because I don't know why, but I can't read, like, all of a sudden anymore, I can't read just straight romance. Like, I need someone to, like, almost get murdered or, like, get kidnapped or like,
this
I
is
need,
what
like,
I've
death.
Been saying.
Sounds like a 2019 problem.
We've been talking about this on the podcast, this, like, because we're doing this reread of Cressley Cole's series, and, I mean, everybody's losing limbs all the time.
Of course, right?
And it just feels like the best thing to be reading in 2019 for me, but I do feel like it's, like, half of romance readers just want, like, cinnamon roll, like, really, like, lovely beta heroes, and half of us are like, bring on the murderers.
Right?
I don't think there's any in between, by the way.
No,
there's not. There really isn't. Because you know what it is? I think that, like, in this era of, like, even, like, movies, you know, like, I'm a total action movie nut job, and I love everything about them. And so, like, I personally want action in my, you know, like, I want action in my books. I want to, like, feel like I'm there. I want to sit on the edge of my seat, and I want to, like, be, like, so tense about, like, what's going to happen. It's like, yes, he's awesome, and you guys are enemies to lovers and can't stand each other and are clearly gonna bone, but also you might get shot at any moment. Like, mm-hmm. I need that in my life.
Yeah.
And if it's not there, I'm kind of fine. Like, well, it was nice-ish. But it's not the same.
No, it's not. But I think that it's interesting because it also echoes back. It has a real echo back to old school romance, which always had that sort of thread of adventure story in it.
Yes.
And my pick is an old school romance. It's Galen Foley's Princess, which is her debut from the 90s. And Princess is one of those books that periodically gets brought up, like, in the world of romance, where people go, hey, do you remember that Galen Foley book that had lactation in it?
Oh, no.
And Sarah's like, oh, I mean, yes. Oh,
I do
yes.
remember it, you guys. It was like a seminal text for me. I don't know. It was weird. Here's the thing. I have, as we all know, like I have an encyclopedic memory for the books that I have read, the romance novels I have read. This book, I can remember the exact location I was in when I turned the page.
Oh, wow.
And there was lactation.
And saw
sex on the page. And I was like, oh.
Okay. Okay, I'm trying to be here for it.
No. No, it's fine. It's just one of those things where, like, you read that in a book and you don't forget. You don't forget
well,
that
no,
it's happened
you
when
don't
you're
forget.
14.
You never forget the first time that happened.
I mean, and what's real weird, you guys, is it's, I think it is, this is the book, this is the second book that had this in it that, like, created, like, some sort of, like, neural pathway for me. Because like, the first romance novel I ever read that where I was like, oh, I would get in trouble if my parents knew I was reading this was Bertrice Small's All the Sweet Tomorrows, which also has lactation porn in it.
Oh,
lactation sex in it.
Okay.
But this was a different thing. This is a bodyguard romance. The heroine is a princess. The hero is the king's greatest assassin. He's like the captain of the guard and like basically like chief. I think his title is like chief assassin. And as we all know, like
God, I love it when they're assassins. I love it when they're assassins. Why haven't we done an assassin interstitial?
I have a whole assassin series. I love assassins.
Assassins are the best.
This sounds right up my alley because I'm just like, oh, an assassin. That's the magic word.
Maybe this is why I love John Wick so much.
Yeah. Fine. Honestly, Keanu's having his own resurgence.
Right?
You know, I'm like, yes, assassins are everything.
Exactly. So the princess is like set to be married for the reasons that princesses are set to be married. Like she's
right, yeah.
And actually, since this is old school, she's not the badass like weaponry person, but she's a scientist.
Right.
She's like into books and like science, and they've known each other since they were children. Because when he was 13, he saved her father, the king, from an assassination attempt. And so he was immediately like brought into the fold, and he was raised as the king's like chief guard. And they have been in love with each other, but not talking about it. Neither knows the other one is in love with them. So there's like this like deep abiding pining going on. Like it's real. It's a lot of pining.
That sounds amazing.
And it's also a debut historical in the 90s, which means like it's extra piney. Like it's all just packed in there, right?
I love everything about that.
When you write your debut, you write things like in my debut, I have this line where the hero is like fingering the heroine and he brings forth her sweet rain. It's like that. Like I would never write that now. When you're writing your first book, mistakes are made.
I still love it.
Thank you. So it's a lot but it's like intense pining. And she's supposed to get married to this Russian, and there's a lot of like stuff going on. It's during the Napoleonic Wars. And so finally, he makes the decision that all bodyguards do at some point, and he's like, hey,
yes,
let's just run together.
Yes, just do
so
it. Yes, of
they
course.
Go, and then they bone like the whole time, and then she gets pregnant, and then she lactates, and it's a whole thing. Maybe she doesn't get pregnant.
I am literally checking this out of the library as you're talking. I'm all like,
A plus, will read. You guys, but now that I'm saying this out loud, so I did not check this before I came for this podcast, and now I'm saying this out loud, I have this weird thought that maybe she doesn't get pregnant and he just like she gets so turned on that she lactates. I can't remember.
Stop it. I'm about to check you all. I have this book right now. I'm gonna be like,
oh,
I will
God.
Get back to you on this
whatever.
One in the show
whatever
notes.
Happens you guys
in the show notes. I will take a screenshot.
What I'm saying here is it's a ride.
But like, why are you gonna do it if it's not a ride?
No.
You want a wild.
It's
ride.
A real ride, you guys. It has it has all the pieces of the puzzle are in it.
me doing a keyword search for milk.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a thing. And I was sitting. Yeah. I mean, this is so that is my pick. I want to talk. I have questions. I mean, I do think like there's like, look, there's no kink shaming at all in this house. So in the Faded Maid's house. Nana has experienced the Sarah McLean, Sierra Simone, like back and forth about old school romances. She's experienced it firsthand in person.
I have.
So Nana knows that like we do not kink shame. Like, but I do have some questions about lactation sex because it feels like it's always quite shocking when it happens on the page, and I sometimes just want to be prepared. That's all. So I'm asking.
You know what? Listen. There were things in our youth that were shocking at the time.
Yeah.
You remember like the first time you read a blowjob on the page and you were like,
wait, I mean, what went where?
What? You know? I know.
Oh, we were so naive. We were such sweet young kids.
Oh my God. But you remember. Mm-hmm. And you were like, I think I must have been like, God. And it was a historical. I don't remember which historical it was. Because I used to read nothing but historicals, especially like at 13, 14, 15. And I remember, and I was like, I was super like, there's like no chance of me ever going anywhere near the word sex ever. Like, I was like, okay, I'm just like the nerdy girl in the corner with her book. And I was like, oh, what? Oh my God.
Oh, yeah.
And now it's like we're talking about lactation.
Yeah.
I remember. Yeah. I mean, I definitely remember those things. I feel like sometimes every once in a while, I am still like, oh, but it's not that often anymore.
Well, yeah. Because now we've grown.
Daddy sometimes will do it. Like right. If in the middle of something, all of a sudden she's like, Daddy, I'm
like, hello.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That's okay. A lot.
That'll get me. Like, we all have our things that'll get us and we'll be like, ooh.
No, I think.
I'm just saying, it surprises me sometimes.
I think the last time I was really, like, shocked by a sex scene was when I read Lothair, and then he makes Ellie feed from his penis, like, drink blood from his penis. That's where the line.
Oh my God. That was it,
yeah.
and I
remember that.
That feels like the line for me.
Yeah.
So bring on the lactation. It's fine.
Where do you go from there? Honestly.
If you've seen Nani, we will send you the Sierra Simone taboo scale, but you will see that even Sierra, like queen of taboo, cannot think of anything wilder than a blood blowjob.
Yeah, that's, you know, like, I'm just like, oh my.
Yeah, there it is. That's the line. Yeah. Cressley found it. And now we await whoever comes next.
I don't know, though. I feel like I'm like, I'm okay. I'll just hold at this line. I don't know.
Sometimes you have to, like, come to your own line and just be like, you know, this is my line. I feel like I can't go past this line. Like, I feel like I personally, this is my line.
I don't know who said this, but I think somebody was like, they're like, you know, 20 years ago, like, do you remember in the Sex and the City where, like, someone essentially wants to lick Miranda's butt? And she's like, are we doing this now? And
yes!
I feel like 20 years later, it's everywhere. And somebody, and I remember being like, oh God, are we doing this now? And now I feel like, and now I'm like, in 20 years, are we going to be like fucking each other's belly buttons? Like,
No, you guys, no. I remember that episode so hardcore because my cousins and I lived in New York at the time, and we were sitting there watching Sex and the City, and we were like, okay. And I remember, I won't name her because like people will know her from my Insta and stuff, but my one cousin looked at me and she was like, yeah, this guy's a bum licker. And we were just like so scandalized. And I put it in a book. Like 10 years
Amazing.
Ago. And I said like, and I remember getting hate mail, and
they weren't ready. You were being read by Mirandas.
Yes, right. In you regular books Samantha's. Now, people are like, "Let me get up in there."
Fine. Yeah, now it's
so
like,
that's
yeah.
it. I just feel like
it's fine. We just roll with it.
It's gonna
the line.
Next. I'm excited.
Exactly.
I'm excited. There's some new line out there.
I just want to give a shout out. There is a new line. It is not in the book that I'm about to shout out, which is a YA novel. So let's have a little, we're just going to whiplash right around.
Yeah.
But I want to shout out Rachel Hawkins, who is currently writing a Royals series. That's literally the name of the series, Royals. The first book came out as Royals, and then it was rejacketed and retitled as Prince Charming. But it is she. So you might know Rachel from her Twitter feeds about like real life, like crazy history, like weird romance histories. In like actual history. And so she's super obsessed with the royals of history. And she has created an alternate universe where Scotland and England never actually unified. And so there is a royal family of Scotland, and she, all these books are set there in the royal family in Scotland. And the first book is great. It's an American, a Floridian kid girl who, ends up like her older sister's getting married to the Crown Prince of Scotland. And so she has to go and like, it's basically like 16 Candles-y.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's very, very cute. It's very cute. And so she goes there and she falls for the younger brother. And then the second book is Her Royal Highness. And it's a... an American girl who is accepted to one of these like posh English boarding schools, and she ends up there, and her roommate is the princess of Scotland, and they fall in love, and that's enemies to lovers. They hate each other like on sight when they meet, and then they fall in love. So they're both adorable, and Rachel's a wonderful person, so I just want to shout those out.
All right. Well, I'm going to let everybody wrap it up here because I got to go. I got to go pick up my child at volleyball. He's named after a prince, by the way.
I love it.
Cool. Nana, tell everybody what's next and where they can find you.
Ah, what's next? Okay. So next is continuing my Royals of the Winston Isles world. I've got Bodyguard to the Billionaire and The Billionaire's Secret coming out in July 23rd. And book two is releasing September 17th. If you are wanting to read my Royals, you can start at the very, very beginning. Cheeky Royal is free everywhere. And that's a fantastic place to start because you get to meet all the characters as they turn up. And you can find me on Instagram, Nana Malone Writer. You can find me on Facebook. What is it? I said also Nana Malone Writer. I sort of given up on Twitter. and that's where I generally hang out is Instagram and Facebook. And you guys are the best. Thank you so much for having me on.
We loved having you. Come again. Talk about something else with us.
We're going to talk about Assassins because I want to talk about that because I love Assassins so much.
I say this into the ether on Twitter all the time, but like you guys, if you are thinking about writing like a 16th century assassin story, like Assassin's Creed, but romance, I want that in my eyeballs. So like, figure that out. Write it.
Yes.
I mean, it might be an audience
if
of three.
Find someone who is going to do this. No, I'm here for it.
We are here for it.
Listen. I watched Assassin's Creed mostly just for Fassbender.
Sarah's like, spies? No. Assassins? Yes.
If they are going to like actually like super murder people, I want that.
Yeah. No, I'm here for that. All of it.
This is Fated Mates. I'm Sarah McLean. You can find us online at Fated Mates on Twitter and at Fated Mates Pod on Instagram. You can subscribe and like us on your favorite podcasting platform. Leave us a review if you are so inclined. We love that. Also, I have a book coming out at the end of July. It's called Brazen and the Beast. It's out July 30th. There is adventure. There are many threats to people. People might die. There's also fist fighting and zero lactation, unfortunately. Next time. Next time.
I'm just gonna get over here. All right. Goodbye, everybody. We'll see you next time on Fated Mates.
Thank you, guys.